A1 by Jane Phillips Medical Center and Tulsa Bone and Joint in Bartlesville, working together to keep you on the move, and also by First Baptist Church. And for the second day in a row, I get to start off the program with Bartlesville Superintendent of Schools, Chuck McCauley. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Charlie.
Cardinals got a sweep for their current season. How did the Cubs do last
Cubs also time? Won, beat the Mets 6-2 yesterday.
Anytime you beat the Mets, that's a good thing.
I agree.
Okay. Well, we're talking school business this morning, and there is a bond issue coming up next month, August 23rd, if the date is correct.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's it's coming soon.
It is. And just a little bit of the history on this. This all came about through discussions that the board had, as I'll say they saw a trend in state dollars, not only this year but the last several years, declining to the point that that fund balance that the board protects so dearly every year was getting to the point that it was really a problem.
That's exactly right, Charlie. Our fund balance ended June 30th at 5.9%, which is the lowest it's been in a long time.
I can remember board members 15, if not 20 years ago, saying we just don't want it to go below 8.5, and got down to 8 and 7 and even further.
That's exactly right. And we feel like 7% is the minimum that we need to be able to make payroll in December. And so it's too low, and that's why we've had to make these drastic cuts of $1.9 million here locally that we made to our budgets. And you're seeing them across the state. And the bottom line is the state of Oklahoma is struggling financially. I mean, they're at a $1.3 billion deficit, and that therefore that impacts all of its agencies, which has impacted us.
Pesky little problem called a constitutional requirement for a balanced budget.
That's exactly right, and that impacts all of us. And so we're really trying to, and the bottom line is, for the short term, for the future, I haven't talked to anyone that thinks things are going to improve soon. Hopefully that they are going to improve. However, we want to make sure that we're being proactive and doing everything we can to protect our schools, and we think this is one way to do that.
And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but the board looked at their situation and said there are things that we have historically paid for out of the general fund that could be paid for with bond dollars.
That's exactly right. If we had that revenue source of bond fund, you can't pay for personnel. However, what this can do is help us operationally. And bottom line, this will help us protect class sizes and save teachers' positions. We can actually, for next year, this can help protect 15 teaching positions because we'll have those bond dollars to help us operationally.
And that gives you just so much more flexibility to have the teaching staff that has always been a goal for Bartlesville, to keep that teacher to student ratio where you want it to be.
It's very important. We want to try to protect our class sizes the best we can. We want to make sure that we're also able to keep all the programs that we have, all the curriculum offerings for our students, as well as transport our students to get them to school. So we want to make sure we're doing everything we can to set our kids up for success. And those things take support, and that comes into funding. And so we're looking at, this is one way that our local community, that they can focus to help our schools here, right here in Bartlesville.
And I have continually complimented the school district, ever since I moved to town, for the transportation program that you do, because the vast majority of the students that you do transport, you do it as a public service. You are not required to do that.
We are only required to transport students if they're on an IEP, an individualized education plan. Everyone else, we're not. However, obviously, it is a community expectation. Obviously, our community has changed some, and people, frankly, they rely on that transportation to get their kids to and from school. So that's something we need them at school to be able to help them. So, and we even run transportation throughout the summer that we do to help get our kids to all of our summer programs that we talked about yesterday, about the Bartlesville Education Promise, for example, too. So that's something that we want to continue to do. However, those are things that we'll have to look long and hard at if we, you know, because we reduced 39 positions for this upcoming school year. And we did everything we can to protect the classroom. However, realities are, if we have to make further cuts, there's not any more district level positions to cut. We've reduced over $500,000 in district level personnel outside the classroom. Reality is, the next step is it's going to impact students. And that's what we're trying to do, is trying to keep from doing that.
Yeah. Well, I would love to spend the rest of the time with you, but you brought a another spokesperson along for the community as far as the committee that is out there advocating for the vote.
Absolutely. I want to introduce Jack Williams. Jack is a senior at Bartlesville High School. His parents are both Bartlesville graduates. Jack, he's one of four. Jack and his twin brother Henry are both seniors at the high school. They're both outstanding students. Matter of fact, they're both recognized as high scorers from the National Merit program. We haven't found out yet whether or not what level they'll be. They're two of nine seniors that we're going to have that are going to be recognized either as high scorers, as semifinalists. Jack also represented, I was yesterday talking about the debate team. He represented us, qualified for nationals. Him and his brother both are on the cross country team. He's got a younger sister, his brother Henry is what I'm referring to. His younger sister Liza is a sophomore at the high school. And the youngest Max, and they're all runners. I think Liza's heavily involved in the dance program as well as running. Max's a great runner, and they're all great students. Max will be an eighth grader at Central Middle School. Matter of fact, I think my wife will have him in class taking geometry there too. So having said all that, I'll turn it over to Jack.
Okay. Well, Jack, first of all, thank you for coming in this morning and welcome to K1. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, it's great to be here, Charlie.
I would love to talk debate with you sometime, but that's not the topic of conversation this morning, although it does play into the fact that if the speech and forensics teachers aren't there and aren't giving you the coaching that you need, then you're not as successful as you could be.
That's absolutely true.
And so let's just go ahead and take a look at that. What would fewer teachers mean to you as a high school senior?
I mean, it really comes down to two main things. The first is increasing class sizes, which just means that people get a lower quality of education because there's less individualization with the students. And the second is they don't have as many opportunities because lower amount of teachers mean we don't have some classes that are kind of more niche and have lower class sizes, but some students really enjoy, like debate, for instance.
And I think that's certainly something that the community historically, as I look at it, has said, we want these optional classes, these classes that, okay, you may only have, you pick the number 7, 10, 12 in that particular class, but it's also giving the enrichment that those students are looking for and those parents are demanding.
Right.
Yeah. So as far as just, you know, your college plans, if it were not for the classroom teachers that you had kindergarten until today, would you be the same student?
I don't think I would be at all. I mean, even going just back to last year, without some of my teachers that I had my junior year, I would not have turned out the way I had. Some of my goals and some of my aspirations wouldn't be the same as they are today.
Okay. For the community member that, and there's always a percentage that, and I will stereotype them, I'm not talking about any one particular individual, that says, I really don't care what it's about, I don't want my taxes to go up. So they're going to be a nearly guaranteed no vote. What would you say to somebody that says, you know, that this, they don't see this as an important issue?
Right. So last year, the Oklahoma Congress actually cut taxes. I believe it's by $89. I'm not exactly sure on that number, though.
The cut was effective last year, but it was approved the year before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this would increase property taxes on someone who has $100,000 in property by $36 per year. So effectively, you're not seeing like a net increase in taxes overall. But secondly, like adequately funding education is something that's absolutely vital to our community. If we don't do this, it's going to be harmful to our future as a whole, and you may see like definite negatives and increases or decreases in the quality of living.
And I think that that translates out to so many other things when it comes to recruiting people to live in the community. We have companies that bring in, you know, either recent college graduates as new hires or people that get transferred in from other locations. They have a choice. They can live in Bartlesville and work in Bartlesville, or they can work in Bartlesville and live someplace else.
Right. And all too often we have people who are hired here and go to live in Owosso and commute every day because, you know, a lot of things are better in Owosso, like education, because they have more funding.
Do you really think that's true?
Yes.
Okay. We will continue our time on A Community Connection in just a moment. AM 1400, 93.3 FM. We're talking about the school bonding election coming up on August 23rd. More in just a moment.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
There's always something good happening at the Bartlesville First Baptist Church. Some of the things coming up is Cross Timbers Children's Mission Adventure Camp, with registration going on now. Camp will be held Monday, August 1st through Friday the 5th. For more information about the First Baptist Church calendar events, call 918-336-6172. Come worship at First Baptist Church of Bartlesville, located downtown Bartlesville, 405 South Cherokee.
Continuing our time on Community Connection this morning, AM 1400, 93.3 FM, and again talking with Superintendent of Schools Chuck McCauley and Bartlesville High School senior-to-be Jack Williams. And school starts in just a few weeks, and right now I'll say over at Central, the crews are finishing up some work there, and I'm sure they're busy working, laying Cat 5 cable and getting technology into all those classrooms where they would be. Probably would be nice if you had school-wide Wi-Fi in there, but I bet you don't. I bet it's all Cat 5 cable. Technology is a big part of your education.
Yes, that's true.
And I believe it was Mr. McCauley at a forum that I went to mentioned that his now high school freshman, or was high school, college freshman, only turned in one actual physical paper. I think everything was still turned in electronically as opposed to the way I did it when I was in college many centuries ago.
Yeah, education across the board is changing to a more digital system as the workplace also becomes more and more digital.
And so it's a matter of those, that digital domain, whether it's having your high school or college textbook on a digital device as opposed to carrying around books that were several inches thick.
Yeah, and those several inches thick books are pretty heavy, which when you have to ferry multiple ones back and forth between school and home, puts a real strain on your back.
I would agree with that, having been there, done that one. That also means that textbooks are updated every year, and I suppose theoretically could be updated mid-year if necessary.
Yeah, if we were to go to a digital textbook system, it would allow for us to have more and more up-to-date materials that would, in the long run, possibly cost less.
Okay, so technology is part of this bond issue.
Yes, it is. It would have, over 5 years, a one-to-one Chromebook rollout with students, which basically just means every student from, I believe, 5th through 12th grade would have a Chromebook that they would use and would be theirs for the school year. And multiple studies have shown that that would increase our ability to teach these students, increase the adaptability of the teachers so that they can really teach what they want to teach and allow it to be more student-centered.
And of course, the way 21st century students learn has changed and evolved from, I'll say, when I learned back in half a century ago.
Right, that's absolutely true.
you're much more used to that digital domain idea of seeing something on a screen and carrying that sort of thing with you. And of course, the teachers need to be getting information to you in the way that you accept it.
Yeah, for a lot of kids, and for me included, seeing things on a laptop, being able to scroll through and search through it like that is oftentimes a lot easier than going through a physical textbook.
Let's broaden out the discussion a little bit. Of course, the STEM labs being updated now at Central, already in what was the mid-high, now Madison, and of course at the high school, what a great STEM lab, thanks to a local employer for their contribution. But that needs to be carried out throughout the rest of the school.
Yeah, so if we just have like a STEM program at the high school, then we still have problems within lower level education where they don't have kind of the exposure to STEM programs at an early age. So what the BOM project would allow us to do is have these kind of STEM modules that would be rolled out to lower grades, in addition to just having more, you know, technology like the Chromebooks that we would have there that allows them to be more adept and more knowledgeable in how to use those things.
Okay. There are other areas that this bond issue covers, right?
Yes.
What else is important for us this morning?
So one of the more important things is transportation. Like Mr. McCauley mentioned earlier, we do have a very extensive transportation activities and things that we do. One of the main problems is that about half the fleet is older than I am, which is probably a problem when you're busing students around. You want things like the AC to work when it's hot, and that doesn't happen on a lot of the buses. For instance, the state track team was stranded for hours when a bus broke down on the highway. In addition to that, that bus's AC did not work over the entire three-hour journey, so that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, those bus windows are built as an air-conditioned bus. They, I don't know if the windows even go down, but the point is, if it's supposed to be there, it should work.
Yeah,
and I think very few of us probably are driving cars of that age.
No, I would hesitate about even buying a car that's 10 years old, much less one that's 17 years old.
And so that's the reason, of course, under state law, has to be two questions. Transportation bonds are approved separately from others. So that means that there's actually two questions on this.
Yeah, there's two questions on the ballot, but they're both integral to having a functioning education system.
But I think it's important that people, when they go to the ballot box, that they note that there are two opportunities to say yes or no.
Right.
Why is it important that both of these issues pass?
Well, to treat them as independent entities, if we have the transportation one pass, then we're able to update our fleet. We're able to have buses that are actually designated to go to, you know, long range on the highways to out-of-town games or out-of-town activities. And that's really helpful when you have multiple activities going to different places and they have very specialized needs. And then also just updating buses that would go just around town so that we don't have insanely expensive maintenance costs on buses that are many, many years old.
And that's part of the expense right there, is the fact that we are trying to maintain as economically as possible buses that, like I said, are older than the vehicles that most of us drive at home.
Yes. And as we all know, older cars and older buses they have a lot more things break down on them. But then the second question on the ballot is just everything else in the bond, which would really allow us to update things like technology, continue school renovations in areas where they didn't happen with the previous bond, and a lot of other things there that's necessary for our school.
And of course, there are already building funds that are set aside as building funds, but if I think I hear you correctly, then this bond allows additional dollars to be put into those building maintenance issues.
Yeah, so we did have the 2012 bond, I believe it was. It allowed us to, you know, construct things like the new addition to the high school, but there's other areas that went unaddressed because the money just simply wasn't there. So, for instance, cross country currently doesn't have a locker room. We change in the FSE bathrooms and then go to a tent at the high school parking lot. This would renovate the currently unused bottom level of the Custer Stadium and give things like girls soccer, cross country, tennis, track, all separate locker rooms that they could actually use.
And I think that's probably something the community doesn't know, that area at the stadium is not currently being used the way it could be.
Yeah, so really this is just using the space that we already have much more efficiently to meet our needs.
That's okay. I'm just kind of looking at the clock, and I've got about 2 minutes left to go, and I want to finish with the superintendent. But just one thing, from you as a student point of view, somebody that's actually going to be saying, I will be a high school graduate in a year, why is it important that this passes?
Well, actually, if we pass the bond, then things like renovating the school track so that we can actually use it for track meets, and then resurfacing the tennis courts, which are abysmal, that would happen by the spring. So I get a benefit out of this.
And that's important, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so if in one word, how should people vote?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And I know there is a website out there that people can get more additional information.
That's right, Charlie, BruinBond.com. That BruinBond.com is the best source of information. It will be updated leading up to the election. And so just a couple of reminders on that. Want to make sure that people know that the deadline for voter registration is Friday, July 29th. So July 29th, which is...
A week from tomorrow.
That's correct. You can go online and print that off and turn it in, fill it out and turn it in with you, but you can do it down the Johnstone office downtown. So that's a week from tomorrow. And then also wanted to remind folks, the reason that we're bringing this forward in August is that this can help our funding for this school year. We can have our first round of funds in December of 2016, because the bottom line is there is nothing, we have seen no indication that funding is going to improve for us in the future, so we're trying to control our own destiny.
Absolutely, and having seen Mr. Sears sit exactly where you are right now throughout the legislative season, I could see the frustration on his face that he would love to have done more, but he was working hard just to maintain what he got.
Absolutely. Representative Sears is doing absolutely the best he can to help us, to help our schools. But when he's having to deal with a $1.3 billion state reduction and he has to balance the statewide budgets, the bottom line is everyone's going to suffer. He's done everything he can to help protect the schools. But when you continue to have those reductions for whatever reasons that those happen, which I don't really need to get into,
right,
the bottom line is it does negatively impact all state agencies, including us.
Do your homework. Elections.ok.gov is the state election board website, or like you said, stop by the election board office at the courthouse.
ONN News, I'm Randy Renner. Oklahoma oil